This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. We hope you'll stay tuned. And joining us on the line from the Bay Area is Edward Hasbrook. And I came across a story about IGC, the Institute for Global Communications, last night at the Progressive Review website, a website done by Sam Smith, who has been on this program before. And I came across a very, very interesting story about IGC, and I was able to get in touch with Edward Hasbrook, and he's with us on the phone. Edward, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
Many of the people on this radio station have heard a lot about what has been happening at Pacifica and KPFA. And when I read this story about IGC, Mindspring, and Marcy Lockwood, it really struck me that we're talking about some very, very interesting and similar things here. Can you let our listeners know about IGC and what's been happening there, and in particular what's happened just in the recent past?
By way of a little bit of background, for those who aren't familiar with it, IGC is the Institute for Global Communications. They are also the U.S. affiliate of a global consortium called the Association for Progressive Communications. They were formed out of a number of progressive bulletin board systems started in the early to mid-1980s, PeaceNet, EchoNet, LaborNet, serving various grassroots activist communities that eventually expanded into a full-scale online community and provider of internet connectivity for progressives. They have played a role that simply cannot be overstated in providing networking services and tools to the progressive community. If the ARPANET and the National Sound Science Foundation are the backbone of the military and academic internet, truly IGC and the global APC consortium that it belongs to are the backbone of progressive computer networking worldwide. They grew up, as I say, as very much a grassroots, member-supported network with tremendous contributions from a lot of people who participated in it and made it happen. And they played a very important role, even that people who are not part of these networks have benefited from, in providing information to other activists who've passed it on. Whether that's connecting people, they played a particularly critical role in the very rapid mobilization against the Gulf War in 1991, and I think that was one of the things that really contributed to the growth of the network, is people seeing how effective that was, and also as a provider of information that goes out in other ways. For example, it's through IGC that international news services that wouldn't have the resources to distribute their news to alternative papers, broadcast outlets, you name it, in the United States, that sources like the Interpress Service or the Third World Network News Service are able to disseminate their stories to a global audience and reach the U.S. with voices from the Third World that we don't otherwise hear. What has happened is a story, as you say, that will be all too familiar to those who've been following the situation with Pacifica and KPFA. Frankly, I hadn't paid enough attention to the situation at KPFA because I'm not particularly a broadcast person. I get most of my news online through PeaceNet, and I didn't realize that the same threats by, unfortunately, some even of the same people were being posed. But it's not really about the personalities so much as it is the underlying dynamics, the very slippery slope down which nonprofit organizations tend to slide, starting as grassroots organizations but being sucked into forming themselves into a nonprofit corporation so that they're tax-exempt, but then feeling constrained to satisfy the legal requirements that they can't do lobbying, they can't do this and that political kind of activity, and then gradually being sucked further into, well, if we toned down our voice and made it what they want to say, we could get more grants from foundations, which, of course, increasingly are arms for funding propaganda on the part of large corporations that sponsor those foundations.
Go ahead.
So what's happened with IGC is that it started as a grassroots member-supported network, gradually was taken under the umbrella of something called the Tides Foundation, which is run by its executive director is David Salniker, himself a former general manager of KPFA. So IGC was taken under the wing of this foundation, which in recent years has apparently, particularly in the last 2 years, since the hiring of a new executive director, Marcy Lockwood, who was the former general manager of KPFA and someone who has been implicated in a number of, setting in motion a number of the changes that have led to the terrible present situation at KPFA and Pacifica. And what has been announced last week is a complete reorganization of IGC and its networks and its membership. The individual members are being sold from IGC, which had been, among other things, the only national unionized internet service provider in the United States. The individual members are being sold to a private, non-union, commercial ISP, Mindspring, based in Atlanta in a right-to-work state. Among other things, Mindspring has perhaps the worst privacy policy that I have ever seen from any ISP. They have a blanket policy that they will cooperate with any police inquiry. And for a network that involves groups like the National Lawyers Guild, a wide variety of progressive organizations, and that have a history of being among the leaders in fighting government attempts to get information about its members or use its networking to surveil progressive movements, for them to turn that membership over to a group with a principled policy that they'll tell the police anything they ask for is about like an activist group hiring a known police informer as their mailman.
And what we have here is these people, these subscribers, these members of IGC are being sold to Mindspring without their consent or even their knowledge?
Well, this is the other thing. Traditionally, IGC has epitomized the symbiosis between process and results. I think the people who've been involved from the start were quite technically sophisticated people who understood the need to develop electronic tools that could facilitate collaboration and make possible member participation, participatory democracy to a degree that had never been possible. And one of the strangest things recently in my correspondence with IGC, since they've announced these changes, is the statement by their membership director that, well, IGC is not a small grassroots organization. We have 10,000 members. Well, if we're going to achieve change in a country of 300 million and a world of 6 billion, it's going to take grassroots organizations with a good deal more than 10,000 members, and it's precisely these kinds of online tools that historically IGC for 15 years has been in the forefront of developing that makes it possible for an organization to retain its grassroots character even as it gets quite large. But as part of this shift, in addition to spinning off the members and simply just selling them out to a commercial ISP, what IGC is refocusing on in its new mission statement is to provide web hosting services for nonprofit organizations. They describe this in a very hierarchical, top-down way. Instead of emphasizing member participation and empowerment and sharing, what they're moving to is a model where they explicitly draw a dichotomy between visitors to their websites, content users, and organizations, content providers. And I think that really sums up the kind of attitude that is behind this. That's the same attitude behind turning Pacifica into an arm for the same kinds of centralized, top-down, foundation, corporate foundation-sponsored views for disseminating that, as opposed to a participatory and activist organization. And I think that would be a tremendous loss to the progressive community in this country.
Well, and I think there we come to the final rub of it all, if you will, is that here we have another organization that was born, bred, and developed as being a participatory organization, fostering progressive views and thoughts and organizations and individuals, and we reach a point where it appears that the dollar signs have begun to outweigh the values and principles that the organization was built under, and that is very, very much what the large criticism of the Pacifica KPFA debacle is. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here, right?
Certainly. And we have the same situation. We have a bunch of people, members like me, who've been, you know, it's our contributions, our ongoing participation that have made these conferences vibrant centers for the development of fresh ideas on the left. Well, we considered this to be our network. Now, we knew that there probably somewhere was there some board of directors that had some nominal authority. But the idea that for apparently close on 2 years since Marcy Lockwood was hired over from KPFA as executive director of IGC, that for close on 2 years has been an entire review that was brought forward to the point that the contract to sell us out as members has already been signed before the first announcement reaches us. In fact, the press release from Mindspring saying that they'd bought the subscribers of IGC went out almost a month before IGC deigned to tell its membership about it, although it went up on a website that why would I be looking at press releases from some commercial ISP in Atlanta? So I didn't right. know that until later. You know, what this is going to require, just as with KPFA, is for members to rise up and attempt to reclaim our network and, perhaps more importantly, in the long term, to set in place formal structures of democratic decision-making that ensure that our institutions actually are controlled by ourselves. And it points up the dangers of not paying enough attention to the actual structures of power.
We've been talking with Edward Haysbrook about the situation at Institute for Global Communications. Edward, I want to thank you for being on the program, and hopefully we can stay in touch so we can be kept abreast of what happens here.
I'll try and let you know.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. It's been my pleasure to be part of the team bringing you this edition of the program today. If you'd like more information about Full Logic Reverse, you can contact us via email, flr@jps.net, or by phone, 530-265-9462. We invite you to join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.